Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying You Are Accepted, Know Who You Are in Christ, Part 1, based on Your Identity in Christ by Neil T. Anderson. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 18. You are always welcome to call. In the days before the use of satellite communications for telephones, you had to wait for a line to become available to call home from a foreign country. I remember the I Love Lucy episode in Italy, and they waited for a call from New York City. There was no elevator, so they had to go up and down the stairs from their room to the hotel operator. As Christians, we are citizens of another kingdom, a heavenly realm, and it's necessary to call home and speak to our Father. Do we ever have to wait for an open line? No. Why? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. For those who were enemies are reconciled. Jesus Christ did it. How did He do it? He made peace by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ made reconciliation in two ways. First, Jesus reconciled Jews and Gentiles to each other. Verses 14 and 15. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, continued in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Made both one. Those who hated each other. Listen, racism will only be solved through Jesus Christ. No other way. You can talk about it all day long. Racism will only be solved through Jesus Christ. Has broken down the middle wall of separation. What is that wall? The law. The source of pride in being a Jew. The reason that the separation existed in the first place. Just picture the temple wall that separates the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the temple. He abolished in His flesh the enmity. Well, what does that mean? Jesus took away the power of the law. He formed one church of believers, Jews and Gentiles, a new living organism made of both parties was formed. God's people, the body, Jesus Christ, the head, the Holy Spirit, its source of life, thus making peace between them. And then second, Jesus, He brought them together, but then second, Jesus reconciled sinners with God. Verses 16 down to verse 18. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and He preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jews and Gentiles, listen, it's sin that makes a quarrel between God and man. Jesus Christ stepped into the quarrel and ended it, reconciling men to a very offended God. How? Through the cross, the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus was slain, and by it He slew enmity. What have we gained in Christ? Peace, reconciliation, and eternal life. Now we have free access to the Creator of the universe. Have you ever feared approaching one in authority? One with power to punish? How does a person approach the ultimate authority? We do need to approach the only acceptable way. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one path to God, by the blood, because we're in Christ. We don't need to fear if we are in right relationship with the Father. Intimidation causes fear. 1 John 4, verses 16 to 18. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We can approach with confidence. Why? Mark 15:38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, where only the high priest once a year could go behind the veil from the holy place into the holy of holies. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was ripped from top to bottom, which demonstrates that it was a supernatural act, because it was very thick and it was hanging on a rod. And it was ripped not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Now suddenly, all those priests standing in the holy place could look right into the Holy of Holies and see the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his body, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It was such a fearful thing for the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies. There was concern that the high priest may think a thought or speak a word in prayer or do something that would cause God to strike him dead. And nobody could go back there to get him. So tradition says that there was a practice. We don't know how true this tradition was, but the tradition says that they would tie a rope onto the high priest's ankle, and there would be bells attached to his leg. And as he moved around in there, you could hear the bells. If the sound of the bells stopped, it's concerned that God did something to him. They could then, without going back there, they could then, with the rope, pull him out. Whether that is true or not, the point is important, that it was such an awesome thing to go into God's presence that it had to be done a special way, and it could only be done once a year by the high priest. That's what makes it more significant, that the veil being ripped in half, everyone can now see right into the Holy of Holies, giving the image of free and open access. But we can't approach by our own efforts. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Another often misunderstood passage of Scripture, the unpardonable sin. Listen, if you are a Christian, you have not done this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18. Now where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Take sin seriously. There are those who have no respect for God. And there are those who seek God by their own efforts. God's judgment is their only reward. Wrong understanding of teachings of truth are Satan's weapons. Do not build doctrines on difficult passages that seem to contradict overall teaching of Scripture. What's the reality? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means shall by any means hurt you. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By what right do we approach the throne of God? We can only approach God by His grace alone. Hebrews chapter 10, again, verses 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How often do you approach the throne of grace? Prayer is our greatest weapon as Christians. Satan can't stop our prayers. They hit their target every time without fail. Hebrews 4:16. We're encouraged, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace is for us. The liberty to approach the throne is given to us. The access is provided by the Holy Spirit. The way was opened in Christ. The grace to serve is gained at the throne. We draw near to God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. You think about that, and you have a great day.